I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires? I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing. Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Luke Anderson, astronaut. A man barely interesting.
I also went to a school dance with a girl that watched Titanic, I think, 17 times in the theater. It was a different time back then.
Will Darkins, hot air balloon attendant, frightened by technology.
There's HBO hot, where it's like, you watch it, and you're like, wow, she's dangerous. I'm into that.
We have the capability to build the 33rd best radio show in Portland. On Saturdays, about sports. The Sinner and the Saint will be that show. Better than they were before. Funnier. Sportsier. More labradoodles. On 1080, The Fan.
All right, we made it to hour two of this fine radio broadcast. If you missed anything from hour one, you can go on to 1080thefan.com and get the Les Schwab Tires podcast. Just find the on-demand button and go from there. You can probably figure that out all on your own. I don't need to go through it. If you can't, you can text us. 55305 is the text line. You can also interact on Twitter at SinnerSaint1080 or at 1080TheFan on Twitter. You have polls up there.
Jesus, how disinterested do you sound?
Not that much.
The internet.
What?
Just get on there and start typing.
Do you need me to explain the internet to you?
Russell Westbrook and his jeans.
Yeah, I am upset with his jeans.
You're an old man.
We will start with our sports poll that's on Twitter right now, and that is what series do you expect the upset in? Is that how we worded it?
Let me just read it.
Oh, why don't you just read it, Will?
Who's your first round upset? 16% Pelicans over Blazers, 22% Pacers over Cavs, 24% say Wizards over Raptors, and overwhelmingly 38% Spurs over Warriors.
We'll start there, and that's where we'll introduce our guest, Jason Bro, sitting in with us from University of Portland. Bro, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You've been a Blazers fan, what, out of the womb?
Pretty much, yeah.
So looking at the playoff landscape, we kind of, you know, intentionally threw the Pelicans Blazers matchup in there, but where do you see the first round upset coming from?
I definitely don't agree with the fans that San Antonio is going to be Golden State. It's funny. I think people have hopes more than actual analysis on that. The one I'm hoping for is Indiana over Cleveland. I actually think Indiana's better than people give them credit for, and I think Cleveland's trying to find themselves, but if I had to pick that, I wouldn't pick that with LeBron. You know, the one that's kind of intriguing to me is I think Miami and Philadelphia, because everyone's high on the Philadelphia bandwagon right now.
Yeah.
And Miami, everyone forgets, I got to throw out a shout out to my guy Spo, who's a University of Portland alum. He's a dang good coach, and he's been through the playoff grinder a lot. They have some intriguing assets on there. They have some experience with Dragic and with Wade, and they've got the big guy in the middle. Philadelphia's going to not have Embiid for game one. It could be interesting if home court switches there. That one's intriguing to me. I don't see a ton of upsets in the first round, quite frankly, when I look at the playoffs. I think it's going to be chalk for the most part.
Do you really? Even though this is a year where I think a lot of people are kind of leaning that direction, because I was telling Will before and he didn't believe it, but the NBA playoffs, it's almost always the best team wins. It's very rare occasions where it doesn't go that way.
It's true, but you look in the West, who do you really, we're in Portland, I'm a Blazers fan. Probably the one that everyone looks at and says that's probably likely to happen is New Orleans over Portland. I think outside of our market, people say, oh, that they're susceptible there with Anthony Davis type stuff.
Well, I think a lot of people go toss up on the Jazz Thunder. Yeah. I mean, because that's one of those things where at least when I look at it, you see the Utah and the way that they've played better than expected, certainly since January, where they've, 31-11 in the second half of the season. But in the at the end of the season where you really expected the Thunder to come out and really figure out their rotations with three superstars on the team, they never really have.
Yeah.
And technically, that's an upset.
And based on seeds, it's upset. But I think 3-6 in the West, as we saw, it came down to literally the last few minutes of the last few games. And so is it that much of an upset? Yeah, I think if you had to put money down on it, Utah is very intriguing. I think chalk's going to hold.
Bro, true or false, the sweater your Quinn Snyder gets, the better the Jazz are.
He's interesting. That's true, by the way.
Yeah,
that's true.
The sweatier he gets, the better they are.
They have to employ a towel boy just to follow him around on the sidelines after the first 5 minutes of the game.
Hell of a job.
Yeah.
You get paid minimum for that?
Minimum wage is raising. It's not a bad gig.
The other one that I thought was intriguing, and I know it's a 1-8 matchup, any credence to having John Wall back healthy and nothing to lose if you're the Wizards?
Yeah, I think that's intriguing. The Wizards haven't really done a whole lot to make you think that historically that they're going to make a huge run in the playoffs. And
Toronto.
I think I like the continuity that Toronto has going in versus the Wizards.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've been pretty solid all year long. They've been healthy for the most part. I like their pieces. John Wall sometimes tries to take over, and I think for three quarters he feels and actually performs like he is going to take over, and then we've seen him kind of fall in the fourth quarter.
You know, my kind of question is that I wonder who's going to be that breakout guy, because I feel like every single year in the NBA playoffs, there's always a guy that you kind of notice, and then the momentum kind of carries into the next year. Like, this is going to sound ridiculous, so I'll just say it. Bismack Biyombo was kind of that, I think, two years ago. You remember that? Everybody got on a real high steez about Bismack Biyombo.
What happened to him?
They got Biyombo fever. We looked this up because we didn't know anybody on the Orlando roster. He went to Orlando to die.
Bismack Biyombo is like, where's Waldo in Orlando?
I heard you guys talking about Orlando, and I'm like, I could name four guys on Orlando, and he wasn't one of them.
Now, who's crazy hair guy?
Elfrid Payton.
Elfrid Payton, he got traded to the Suns.
Yeah, but I knew that. Yeah. But I can't tell you a single
Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah?
He's a double-double center. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. See, when you can't pronounce
magic
it.
Talk.
Well,
Evan Fournier.
Yeah, the do not Google. Do you know, have you tried to Google his name?
I have not, no.
Oh, the Fournier gangrene.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you don't want to see any of that.
Yeah. Don't go to the image portion.
No, it's absolutely awful. And Will didn't believe me, so I had to show it to him. What was it, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, you had to scrub your computer clean.
Oh, it's awful.
Because that's disgusting.
It very much is.
Not to depart too much, but that brought up something like... This whole show is a departure.
Yeah, so
like,
go nuts.
Yeah, when you travel or when you're with a group of people or with you're with your parents and you get like a text and like, you know, it's kind of one of those where they're sending you something that's inappropriate maybe for the audience you're in. I had that happen to me like 5 times in the last like 3 weeks when I've been on an airplane and I'm next to a grandma and my girlfriend sends me a text of something that's funny. And it wasn't even really that dirty, but it was like images of things that looked really dirty, but that's what made it funny. But when you pull it up and the 80-year-old grandma sitting next to you looks over and thinks she's seeing something that's very dirty, it's kind of an awkward situation.
We actually had that at a Christmas party. My brother was dating this girl at the time that, he was sending some explicit pics to.
Yeah.
And he had them on his iPad. And so this older gentleman who lives next to my mom came over, and he's never seen an iPad before. He's like, what's that thing? And my brother's like, oh, it's an iPad. Let me show you. And he started flipping through pictures. Then one of the pictures was something he sent to his girlfriend that's a little bit explicit.
What do you mean? What was it?
Well, it was a picture of his naked body.
We know what it was.
And he flips to it, and he looks at the older gentleman. His name's Don, and he goes, whoops, sorry about that. And he looks him in the eye and tells him, and Don just like waves his hands and goes, ah. I don't want to see that.
It's where I'd keep pictures of my peen. You want to see? Here, take a look.
It's a photo album.
Yeah. Here, let me show you, old man. This will be an absolute delight. Will hates baseball. So part of the reason we have to bring people in is so we can talk a little bit baseball.
Terrible.
So
in fairness, I love baseball. I can understand why people can't stand baseball. It's hard to watch if you're not invested in it.
Well, no, I totally get that. And we've actually...
Do you like going to baseball games, though? Like, do you like going to an MLB game and experiencing the
ambiance? I do. It's fun, but I lose interest even there, like, 20 minutes in. And that's why I do like... going to Mariners games because the restaurants are friggin' awesome and it's a fun stadium. But
it is a fun stadium.
After that, I just can't get into it. I can't get into it. And Luke here keeps trying to make me a Marlins fan.
No. I asked you what team you wanted to root for, and you threw out Marlins. I was going to try to make you a Brewers fan.
Hey, like once every 10 years, they should win a World Series based on precedence.
And they do. It's absolutely remarkable. But I did want to talk a little bit about what's going on with the start that Shohei Ohtani is having. So we'll do that next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
God's good word goes unspoken.
All right, kids. We're going to do a limited conversation about baseball, but then I've got a question that is actually very intriguing about your Marlins as well, Will. So I want to get your.
But you promised we're going to get back to the NBA playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah, we definitely are.
We got to get the NBA playoffs. How pumped up does that get you?
Not at all. I think you failed miserably.
If you want to get me pumped up about NBA playoffs, play the old NBC jingle, the John Tesh.
Hold on a second. You tell me if this gets you pumped up.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
What is wrong with you? So Will comes up to me and he goes, hey, what should we do for the NBA playoffs? I go, what if we had a sounder every time we said NBA playoffs or Portland Trailblazers? We did a quick, like, 2 or 3 second, just like pop, and that becomes like the identifying sound of the NBA playoffs.
You don't like the 30 second.
No, and he's got 30 seconds, but he also doesn't have anything that garners any excitement at all.
I mean, Get out!
What does that have to do with the playoffs?
Get out, man. Too excited.
Okay, how about this? I'll get down on my knees. Is this any better?
No! It's not any better! What's wrong with you?
Well, now I thought you'd like the Blade Runner line.
He's just trying to distract from talking baseball.
Well, of course he is, but, well...
Perhaps.
There's a good reason for that, but how much have you paid attention to the Angels right now with Shohei Ohtani? They have not lost a single game where he's either pitching or in the batting lineup.
Yeah, it's just Mike Socha's going old school baseball and restricting him. Just let the kid play.
Yeah, he's already asked for it. He goes, hey, just put me in. I want to play every day and just go out there. But they're saying, oh, well, he needs to chart his pitches when he's not out there. Man, this is why it's fun to watch baseball when you have somebody that this electric. He's 23 years old. And we had Jim Wilson in here last week, and we were kind of talking about the difference between Japanese baseball, because Jim played over there for a handful of years, and the difference between Japanese baseball and AAA or the bigs. And everybody says that, you know, Japanese baseball is a lot closer to the major leagues. Well, this was back in the late 80s, early 90s when Jim was over there. He goes, no question. He goes, it's so close. He goes, I would even say that the pitching is more difficult over there to hit because nobody ever gives you a pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, you play major league baseball and you know there's times where a guy's going to go out and he's just going to kind of serve something up, whether it's late innings and a blowout or whatever it is. But he said you play some of those teams over there and those guys are fighting tooth and nail for every single pitch and every single at bat. And that's where this guy comes from. And now he comes over here and you have this big opportunity to make it fun and do all of this. Just let him play.
Well, and they're pitching him every 6 days, which is fine. I get that. But like, being a DH isn't the most strenuous activity to throw in some of those off days. Grab a bat, go swing, and if you hit a triple, you exert a little bit of energy. Let them swing away.
Well, that and we, you know, that's part of the conversation around baseball.
Mariners would have let him hit.
But that's part of the conversation around baseball all the time is how do you make it more exciting? And then you get this guy that is nonstop. And
then he gets saddled with Mike Socha.
Yeah,
the most unfun man in baseball.
Thank you. The guy that can't make Mike Trout fun.
Yeah, I know. Like, seriously, how crazy is that?
And I don't know how and why you picked the Angels. But yeah, if you're going to make a generation of baseball fans forget that Mike Trout was as good as he is because you can't use him and just go out and have fun.
All right, speaking of baseball and Japanese players, Ichiro.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about this in the past, and I know a lot of Mariners fans like Ichiro, appreciate his longevity, appreciate the value he brought to the Mariners franchise as a Mariners fan, but one of the most overrated Major League Baseball players ever.
Well, him and Pete Rose, right? Guys that just slap for singles. Yeah. Like, go out and have 3,000 hits is great, but do it when it matters.
Stole a base that was important throughout his career. Didn't switch to center field when they needed him to. I mean, I could go on and on. Like I say, yeah, he racked up numbers. He was a great representative. He made Seattle relevant. Appreciate all that stuff. But from a strictly pure baseball perspective, man, he left a lot on the table when you needed him.
Well, he was the MVP and Rookie of the Year in the season where they had 116 wins. So, I mean, that's when you come out and you go, all right, here's a start to your season. And then he had over 200 hits every year. Part of it is the Mariners, though. And, I mean, the Mariners have essentially wasted all of Felix Hernandez's career.
Yeah.
The guy won a Cy Young with 13 wins. That's how bad the Mariners teams have been around it. And if you look through it, because coming into this season, it's another year where it's like, all right, you've got a chance to maybe make the playoffs and not do anything and not make any noise and end the longest drought in sports or whatever. But every year now, the Mariners go, here's all the missteps and miscues they make up. And I read the article, and by the time I get to Eric Bedard, I want to shoot myself in the face. Like, the Mariners, I get give as much blame to as Ichiro. I'm not going to say that Ichiro submarined the Mariners. I would turn it the other way.
He was obviously a valuable player. I just think people say, oh, he's one of the greatest ever and everything. And I remember out of all those 200 hit seasons, every year there was like four or five when there was two outs and he'd lay down a bunt with a runner in scoring position to get a hit when you're like, we need an RBI, man, yeah. The eighth inning.
Yeah,
that drove me crazy.
But what was it, game two? He scaled the left field wall year and made a great catch. He had a cannon.
He's fun to watch. He's exciting. Yeah. I don't not appreciate him. It's just sometimes it was frustrating because I thought he didn't necessarily always do as much as you hoped he would do in certain situations to make his team better.
Yeah, now, who's the gentleman last night who played, who was from minor league, Luke? The guy we were looking up this morning?
Well, he's not from the minor leagues. I mean, he's a rotation player, but Dan Vogelbach.
Oh, the big dude, the big first
guy. Yeah, I like Dan Vogelbach.
Dan Vogelbach is the guy who you went to high school with that drunk everybody under the table.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's still probably drinking everybody under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely that
big guy.
That's what you got to love about baseball is you can have some guys with just some bellies like mine out there that are prime athletes in their physical, you know, just dominating the Chris Bosios of the world. He throws a no-hitter with about 20 extra pounds on him. David Wells. Oh, you got to love that about
baseball. But then you got guys like Randy Johnson who look like just dangerous cowboys who are slanging all kinds of drugs.
Randy Johnson looks like the most dangerous man alive.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If you'd have replaced, put him in No Country for Old Men,
yeah,
put him as the killer, yeah. I don't think you'd miss a beat in that film.
Yeah. Randy was intimidating.
He still is. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is he's very soft-spoken, seems like a nice guy, but man, if he gives you that stare, the John Kruk All-Star game.
It was Larry Walker, right, too? Or was it Kruk, too?
It was Kruk who turned around his helmet backwards, but yeah, he just hucked one into the backstop on the first pitch.
And the best part was, like, Johnson didn't even change. He didn't smile or anything. No. He just kind of kept going with it.
No, he was having no fun with it. We mentioned it earlier that it's Pete Rose's birthday, and we were talking about legacies and how he basically ruined his playing career with what he did gambling as a manager. And this is my question to the big Marlins fan in the room over here.
Who?
You.
Oh.
So, Derek Jeter, is he ruining his reputation as a player with what he's doing as an owner? So the Marlins are playing in New York this week, and the reason I bring it up is he says it would be too awkward for him to go back to Yankee Stadium as in the new role as the Marlins owner.
No, Jeter's untouchable.
Okay.
He's completely untouchable.
The best cross-sport example, Jeter is on his way to becoming Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, oh, I would agree with that. Now.
He's on his way to becoming Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, now, has he been accused of assaulting women in a workplace yet?
Hasn't he been accused of giving herpes to, like, everybody?
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, listen.
I think he gave it to Jessica Alba.
You can only get herpes once. If you get it from Jeets.
He should face prosecution for
that. That's alleged.
Yeah. I don't know. Yes, I think he is. I think Isaiah Thomas is a perfect example of what
you give Derek Jeter control of the major leagues or a pop-up, have him go over to Japan and run their league. He'll run it into the ground. He's going to tank the Marlins, and then the New York Yankees are going to bring him back once they have an ownership change. Then he's going to tank the Yankees, and he's Isaiah Thomas.
I feel like Derek Jeter didn't ask for any of this. You know what I mean?
Yes, he did. Didn't they spend $1 billion to be a part of this?
Yeah, but I kind of feel like Major League Baseball peer pressured him into it. Like, I know he quote-unquote wanted it, but I almost feel like Derek Jeter did it to appease other people.
Did he make all the decisions when he took over ownership to appease all the other people? Is he
I
just trying
know.
To make everybody else
a
Major League Baseball
and
better?
And a Derek Jeter apologist.
Hey, now, please, don't question my Marlins fandom. I know quite a lot about the Marlins.
Yes, I know you do. I would never question your fandom, but I don't understand how now you're a Derek Jeter apologist as well.
Hey, you know what? We're rebuilding, and it's an exciting time.
Oh. It's an exciting time for everyone in their division.
Yeah, I mean, it is. To me, it's one of those things where if you can't show your face where you're one of the most beloved players of all time, I mean, it's a slippery slope from there. I mean, you're definitely going the wrong direction as one of the all-time greats. I think it's pretty embarrassing.
Hey, going back to Felix and the Mariners, I'll give the Mariners credit for this. I'm pretty sure you mentioned that 13-win season where the Mariners forced this new wave analytics onto people because they're like, nobody could watch Felix play and say he's not one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
But all the traditional stats with besides ERA, he's the one who shuffled in the quality starts over wins era and all these metrics and everything. So give the Mariners credit for that. They changed the way stats are viewed because they were so terrible and Felix was so good.
Mariners helping ruin baseball in more ways than one. On the text line, Derek Jeter is a slumlord. Still want to defend him here, Darkins?
Yeah. How could you not? He's beautiful.
He is, yes.
He's a beautiful person inside and out. And you know what? You know what I would say? Marlins fans need to just shut up about this, really, though. Because, oh, they're ruining baseball in South Florida. Dude, you guys show up to games an hour late. You're not true fans.
It's really bad.
6,000 fans this week to one game.
They're opportunists. They pick times to gripe when things are actually bad. Miami Heat fans do the same thing, too. They're just
annoying.
South
Florida, like Tampa Bay, like for whatever reason, I've been in Tampa a couple times in the last 10 years, and I've gone to a couple Tampa Bay Rays games. One time they were playing Boston when Tampa was in first place in the middle of summer. Boston was in second place, and it was a Saturday series. And four of us that were at a convention decided to go at the last minute. We got tickets for $10 right behind third base, and they gave us free parking across the street from the facility, and there was 80% Boston fans there.
Yeah.
Florida fans, like, I mean, they just don't go to anything.
It's opportunists. It's basically, what are you going to do for me when I can gripe the most? Like, when Dwayne Wade left, they all started getting really, really mad, but it was like, hey, you know that you've only watched maybe a third of Dwayne Wade because you guys show up to the stadium an hour late? Even Miami Heat playoff games, when they had the big three there,
and when they left early and then they came back and
showed up late and left early.
It's ridiculous.
It's
so,
embarrassing.
Yes, Derek Jeter is destroying your team. Oh, well, I guess you should have paid more attention.
Well, I'll tell you a fan base that does show up for games, and that is going to be the Moda Center tonight. It's going to be rocking. What should we expect from the Blazers tonight and in the series against the Pelicans? That is next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan. Here's Will with news. All right, Jason Bro sitting in with us. Jason Bro is one of the associate athletic directors at the University of Portland. It's always fun to have him in. He and I played t-ball together, so we've only been friends for going on 33 years.
Ridiculous. I've been at UP as a student and administrator for more than half my life. That's how old I feel.
That's crazy. See, I didn't even realize that.
Ugh.
We were talking a little inside radio stuff during the break and asking if we ever get in trouble for some of the things we say because we brought up Derek Jeter and his herpes.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I know. And
am I not going to report it?
Again, he was asking me if we ever get in trouble for that. And I was explaining to him the only times I've ever really had like big public outrage on the text line or anything is I filled in for primetime with Isaac and Souk, once with Isaac, once with Souk, and the real Santa Claus came up. And when you stop believing in Santa Claus, and we'll see if it happens right now that I mentioned Santa Claus.
So he brings it up a third time.
But whatever. Santa Claus is not a real thing. And every time somebody will text in and go, my kids are in the car. Come on. It's we just got done talking about herpes. You're okay with that. And while we're on the topic, we also brought it up. The first segment Jason was here, he was talking about texts he gets from his girlfriends that are inappropriate. And I want to expand a little bit on that because he didn't say exactly what it was, but the text stream that she sent him was vegetables that looked like male genitalia.
That's great.
And he was afraid to mention that in there, but that's hilarious.
Well, it was that. And then to kind of further that along, so I immediately shut the phone down because grandma's sitting next to me. Not my grandma.
So he's sitting on an airplane and there's an 80-year-old woman sitting next to him. And he's getting texts of a variety of fruits. Here's a kumquat. Here's an eggplant. Here's a carrot.
That are all shaped.
Here's a parsnip. And they all look like, a male appendage.
So the worst part was is like, like the plane's getting ready to take off, and I always text her like, all right, hey, you know, I'll be home at this time. You know what I mean? Give her the going away. I'm getting on. I'm not going to be able to text you thing. So I land, and I didn't want to pull it back up because then when you pull back up your text, you can see the last one. And grandma's just in my lap. I mean, I don't know what she was looking the entire
she's
time.
Excited.
I didn't feel like I had the opportunity to bring up the extra text to make a response. So then I land, and I'm getting in trouble from the girlfriend back home. She's like, why didn't you text me? And I was like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. So I think you just own it. I think you open it up. You take a look at the vegetables.
Yeah, Luke was like, you just show it to
me. Yeah. You just explain. You go, listen, Grandma, look, this is actually what you're looking at here is the weirdest head of cauliflower I've ever seen in my life. And then you move on.
I don't know about that.
That's what I would do in
that
situation.
That's what Luke would do.
55305, what would you do if your girlfriend is sending you fruits and vegetables that look like a male body part and there's an 80-year-old woman next to you?
That's having an active conversation.
Yeah, I think you just join in the conversation.
Looking at every time you pull up your phone.
I think you share it with her.
Oh, I have this lovely girlfriend back home. She's texting me. I love you. Look. Oh, no. Oh.
You get a good laugh. No, you just go, look, this is what my girlfriend sends me. And then she'll be like, what's wrong with that girl? You should hook up with me.
The other time that we got torched on the text line was that for 15 minutes, we kept calling the Wizards head coach Scotty Brown, not Scotty Brooks.
The text police.
Well, yeah, but we also
But we really bide in on it.
Pretty much
really
went
with it. So then every time a new listener would come in, they just get angry.
Well, no, but we kept saying like his name very adamantly. Like, look, let me tell you something about Scotty Brown here. And we were having some hot Scotty Brown takes until finally, right at the end of the segment, it was really quiet. Luke just goes, "Yeah, I think his name's Scotty Brooks, actually."
Well, and the best part was I don't always have my phone out, and oftentimes I'll even silence it or whatever, and I look, and there's like 8 texts from Swag, who was listening to the show on the way home from the golf show. And he's like, you idiot!
Yeah.
You're ruining the reputation of this fine station!
Just drove him nuts.
Oh, yeah, and every time we said it with more enthusiasm, and we
carried it through the entire show, and just not respond to him, and then right at 11 o'clock go, oh, it's Scotty Brooks!
Yeah, and we get into his tenure in Oklahoma City, and what he did as a boy, and
Swag actually came in here and gave me a lashing after the Blade Runner line. He goes, what was that?
What was that?
I said, well, that was the line from Blade Runner.
Yeah.
He just shakes his head.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people do to us and to you quite often.
Well, you know what? This is a creative show. This is a show that if you're not up on the high pedestal of intellectual ability that, you know, you're not going to understand and you're not going to get. I mean, one of our greatest hosts was a robot.
That's hello.
True. Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, old stat robot. We need to have him back on the show.
He's great to be here.
He's a good guest.
I'm that exciting that you guys want to bring back the robot.
Yeah, well, that seems accurate,
The robot
too.
Was a good guest.
Yeah.
So he came in drunk
but
every
see,
time.
But see, this is our audience on the text line. Grocery list. Easy, Grandma.
Yeah.
You know?
That is a grocery list.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. That's a good one.
It's just a grocery list. So, yeah, I think you're fine. And, If you want your girlfriend to talk dirty with you on a plane, another suggestion with the text line, ask her if she can do Morse code dirty talk.
Ooh, blink, yeah. Blink, 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 dot, dot, one, yeah, one.
Exactly. So if you're afraid to have your intimate conversations on an airplane, create a new language. That'll be easier.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bro, you just crave it so much. You can't even be on an airplane and not look at pictures
of fruit. It's just nonstop. You should
need
go
more.
Through my phone. It's so scary.
All right, bro. So you watch basketball for a living. You're a Blazers fan by birth. What do you expect in the Pelicans-Blazers series game one tonight, 7:30 at Moda Center?
I think home court, Blazers riding the momentum. They haven't been playing great of late, but, you know, the last game against Utah was obviously encouraging. I think the Blazers come out. I think it's going to be an extended series. I think it's probably going to go 6. I think the Blazers run them tonight. I just think the being at home, game one, energy, a lot of excitement. The team had a great year. Crowd, you know, the Moda Center crowd, when it really wants to, can get into it. And I think playoff time that usually comes out. I think the Blazers are going to ride. I think the backcourt's going to ride them really between Nurkic. If Nurkic can play the way that he's been playing most of the year, I think it's going to be a 15-20 point Blazers win. And then I think the series evens out over the next 5 games.
Okay.
Were you listening to Dirt and Sprague this last week when they brought on that guy, that radio personality from New Orleans? What I thought was really interesting was he was saying that after Boogie Cousins got hurt, they had this stretch, I think, where they lost like, you know, 8 of 10 or something. And then he said what happened was that Cousins started to encourage the locker room. Like, he became like a big presence in the locker room, getting people pumped up. And then they started to play better after he got hurt, which everybody...
Well, maybe they should keep him in that role.
I know, right? Well, everybody
pointed... just send Myers Leonard over to fight him, and then they'll get him out of that role pretty quick.
Patrick Ewing theory, right? The whole thing that once you lose your best player, then you get better. But I was kind of surprised to hear that, you know, Boogie Cousins was actually somebody who you could rely on as a team leader. He didn't
seem
like
that. Well, when he's not has the ability to play, I think then when he plays, he thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread and everything should run through him. And I don't even think he's intentionally selfish. I just think, you know how it's like some people have that thing where they're like, oh, no, this is what's good for the team because I'm the best thing in the world.
You and I played on a pickup basketball team. Can you think of a couple guys on that team that were like that?
Probably Luke.
Oh, no. But he's related.
Very true.
Yeah, my brother Frank is who we're talking about, if anybody knows him. Oh, God, he's terrible. And he wasn't even the worst one on our team. We'll just leave that to anybody that knows more about that. But Will thinks that Rondo is going to be able to pick up Damian Lillard at half court and shut him down.
You're kind of paraphrasing.
I did. Use your words champ.
I think Rondo can make it hard on Lillard, but here's the deal. Who's going to guard CJ?
Yeah.
I mean, I think those two at the backcourt. I just like the matchup against the Pelicans for the Blazers. I think it's a good matchup.
Well, I like that with CJ and Drew Holiday because, I mean, Drew Holiday plays zero defense, and he's kind of the primary guard scorer on that team. I mean, besides Anthony Davis, who's your next option but Drew Holiday?
And I think Rondo's reliable years are behind him. I think he can give you – that's why I think it could be extended. I think Rondo's going to have a game where he has a triple-double with 15 rebounds and 12 assists.
And 10 points. He'll get his 10th point on a free throw in garbage time.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans are going to win a couple games. I just think right now the Blazers are going to come out and roll them tonight.
Do you give any hope to the Blazers moving beyond this series? I mean, I think everybody's kind of under the impression that whoever – no matter what happens, it's going to be Warriors-Rockets. Are you the same way?
Yes.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm hopeful and optimistic. I'm optimistic. I'm trying to figure out a way where I think the Blazers could sneak in or somebody else.
Well, the Blazers actually have the benefit. They're going to play the Warriors without – if they have Steph Curry, it's going to be a newly reintegrated Steph Curry.
Yeah, if Steph Curry comes back and is more of a detriment – because he's coming back from injury.
And there's no assurance that he'll be back either. So
if he doesn't come back or if he comes back and he's not right for a few games, I could see it wouldn't shock me if the Blazers gave it a really good run. That's a tough one. There's so many good players on that team, even without Steph Curry. Sure. And even the role players are good. You watch that. I mean, Sean Livingston can take over a game. Draymond Green's our third best player. Iguodala's been a finals MVP.
And then Klay Thompson is bound to go off for two games where he's going to score 20 in your face in like 5 minutes.
In a quarter.
And Durant. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's just they've been built to be able to withhold two injuries and still be the first or second best team in the league.
All right, we'll take a little broader look at some of these series. We'll make our predictions in a little segment we like to call Crystal Balls. You guys all ready to look at your balls? We'll do it next. Yay. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan. All right, we made it to the final segment of the playoff edition. Now he's not even ready with the Sounders. The exciting playoff edition of the Center and the Saints.
Why is my ball there?
See, now that'll get people pumped up for the NBA playoffs.
So overcoming.
How big your hands are.
So for the next 2 weeks, Will, you're out, yeah?
All of a sudden, we took an inch off the length of my club.
That's right.
Where are you going?
Hawaii,
first trip?
Oh, Hawaii. Yeah, it's actually my first time.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Not first trip you've ever
Which
taken.
Which island?
Kauai.
Which hotel and what time will you be there? Oh.
No, don't ask me that. I don't know any of that.
So if anybody is interested in tuning in to next week's show, it should be one of our best ever. Bro's going to sit in for the whole show while Will's out. We'll figure out something to do the week after that. But since you're going to be out, you're going to miss basically the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, no, I'm not.
You'll miss the opportunity to speak on the first round of the playoffs here on this show.
Yes, I will. Okay. And I've already developed a strategy for how I'm going to be able to watch because obviously we're going to be in Hawaii, but I'm going to want to watch. Going to be able to stream it on my laptop, but at the same time, everybody's going to bother me and want me to go do stuff outside and have fun. Well, I just want to go sit in and watch the playoffs. So I'm just going to strategically have stomach aches that'll then bring me back to the room so I can watch games.
Well, here's the other thing that you may not have factored in.
You're what's that?
3 hours behind out there. So it'll be middle of the day, even for the late games. They'll be the middle of the day in Hawaii. So you don't
stomach's going to hurt.
Well, I understand. So it's bad enough that you don't tan to begin with. You're going to spend all your time inside watching the NBA playoffs.
Well, not all of it, but I'm going to catch the Blazer games.
Oh, that's
maybe download it on my phone, watch it while we're doing something. Just kind of.
Yeah, Blazers games, what do they play, every 2 days? It's easy enough. But yeah, that's it's a little bit of an X factor. You need to figure out some sort of DVR system so you can watch the games late. And it's pretty easy to ignore people in Hawaii, I think. Because you've got Hawaii. You're distracted by everything. You're not going to hear – there's not going to be a ton of Blazers fans running around. It's not Portland.
Really?
Yeah, you should be safe. Huh. That's what I used to do with football games. They'd actually – for Monday Night Football and for other broadcasts when I lived in Hawaii, what they would do is they'd actually do two broadcasts. They'd play it live, and then they'd delay it and play it in the evening. So, I'm just warning you.
Somebody said on the text line, LOL, you think you'll have service in Kauai.
I know, that's what I was going to say. I was like, careful on that Wi-Fi and hotspot service.
All right, so Will, we're gonna lean heavy on you to make your first round predictions on this.
Oh, boy.
Bro is on the record saying it's going chalk already, so we don't really have to dive into it. Give me the winner and by how many games it'll take him to win it. We'll start in the East.
Okay.
We'll do these quickly. All right. Let's start with the 1-8 matchup, Toronto-Washington.
I'm going to go Toronto in this one, even though they should choke at some point. Toronto is just so famous for just choking in the playoffs, whether it happens when they meet LeBron James or John Wall and Bradley Beal in the first round. But I kind of feel like they have enough talent that they're going to be able to get over that. And John Wall himself is also pretty much a choke artist in the playoffs at certain points. So I'm going to take Toronto.
How many games?
Give me six.
All right. Milwaukee against Boston. I know you love yourself.
I'm going to take Milwaukee in this one. I think this is going to be Giannis's moment to kind of have his breakout playoff series where he takes control, puts up 40, 45 points, and gets him over the hump. Got to get past the first round, man. That's been them for a little while.
I don't know. I always think back to Jordan against the Celtics. He always had those big games, but the team was never good enough around him to kind of get over that hump. So even though you have a great player, bro, tell me if I'm wrong, one player is not enough to win a playoff series.
They got some decent players. It's the Brad Stevens factor for me. Yeah. That guy can pick up five guys from the G League and win a first-round playoff series.
Yeah, and he keeps doing it, too. All right, so 6-3 matchup is Miami against your Philadelphia 76ers.
My Philadelphia 76ers.
You love them.
I don't like the Philadelphia.
You said you would trade the last five seasons of Philadelphia basketball with Portland straight across.
If I got this.
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
So, yeah. Yeah, I said exactly that.
Yeah, I just said
Portland could never do that. The fan base, the city, the organization, the history would never allow a franchise like Portland to do what Philadelphia did. But how intriguing is that Philadelphia roster?
Oh, my God.
I know. I know.
You're getting Ben Simmons for the next, 10 years, I guess?
Yeah, how many games does it take Philadelphia to win this one in your mind?
I would say five, honestly. I think Ben Simmons is going to come out and just friggin' scorch this team. And I think the first game's probably going to be the closest because you won't have Embiid. But then once he comes back, yeah, five games, you're done.
X factor on Philadelphia, Bellinelli.
Ooh.
It's ever since they got him. I mean, he was a late season addition, and that's kind of when they got red hot.
So. I say X factor is Jay Wright.
Yeah, you've got the power of Jay Wright. All right.
How the hell can you fire a coach who's won, 52 games? Like, I loved how
they're
that conversation.
They're not hiring Jay Wright. No, that's just Philadelphia geeks getting over the
skis. That conversation started this week where they go, I think the 76ers should hire Jay Wright. Dude, their coach won 52 games. You can't fire him. This isn't Mark Jackson.
You could. I mean, there's your precedent, though, right there. I mean, you talk about Mark Jackson really turning the Warriors into a contender, and then it's like, get him out of here. Let's bring in this guy to reap the rewards of Mark Jackson and become a championship dynasty if they win again this year. All right, Cavs-Pacers.
1080.
Oh, he's on. Cavs-Pacers, what do you expect from LeBron, playoff LeBron?
Playoff LeBron, they'll get past the Pacers easy.
Easy?
I mean, he'll will them.
Five or six games?
It shouldn't be that hard, honestly. I know the Pacers are quote-unquote good, but I don't expect a Pacers team to rely on Victor Oladipo to win a series. If that's who you're relying on against LeBron James, I'm going to take LeBron James.
Hate to say it.
Going to say sweep.
Love Nate McMillan, but there's also the Nate McMillan factor. It's like the opposite Brad Stevens.
You know, that's a very fair point.
Very fair point.
You know what we didn't realize? We were looking through a little bit of the Blazers stuff this week. Kevin Pritchard actually coached the Blazers for a little while.
Yeah.
Not a great stretch of basketball.
That's when he was molding the team and he just decided to take over.
Yeah, so you've got that. All right, moving over to the West, Will, you've got the Rockets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. First playoff appearance in 14 seasons?
Rockets in a sweep.
Sweep, pretty easy there. All right, 7-2-7 matchup. Warriors-Spurs. You still believe there's a little intrigue?
There's a little intrigue, and man, it's hard for me to pick against the Warriors because they have that light switch factor, which is just like, oh, we're in the playoffs, time to turn it on. I know
they also have Kevin Durant, and you hate him, and you want him to
And I hate him, but win. The fact is that Kevin Durant has proven that he can take over playoff series.
You're giving Brad Stevens factor, Nate McMillan factor. What's a Popovich factor in this?
I think it's, I mean, he's going to have a factor, but not against Golden State.
Yeah, that's too good.
No way.
And speaking of Durant, like, has there ever, I know it's been like a huge talking point about him, you know, all of a sudden falling off, but remember after he won the MVP and he was crying on the podium and everyone's like, this is the face of what sports should be all about. And then 4 years later, oh boy.
Oh, he's a complete tool.
Ugh.
In fact, I think we did a poll one time that said, who's the biggest tool in the NBA? And he might have won.
Oh, I think he definitely did.
I think he was only second to write-ins for Chris Paul.
He hasn't done himself a lot of favors in the last couple of years.
No.
No. And this would be nice to see a basketball stumble, but I don't think it'll be here. And I kind of want to see the Rockets play the Wizards or the Warriors. I kind of want to see that. I mean, obviously that means you count the Blazers out, but that second round matchup will be a lot of fun depending on what Steph Curry does if you have Blazers, Warriors as well. So I'm pretty intrigued to watch this. I'll skip the Blazers so we can finish with that. What do you see in Oklahoma City against Utah?
I take Utah just because I think they're more of a stable team. And I just, Russell Westbrook, I really want people who think that he should win the MVP because now he's done triple-double 2 years straight. You need to shut up because the meaning of an MVP is the most valuable player not only in the league but also for your team. Russell Westbrook's not the most valuable player on his team because I kind of think he is what makes that team not function very well. I really do.
He might be the most valuable player in his team, but I don't think he's the most valuable player in the league, and I'm not sure he was last year. But I think the NBA has this idea that they needed to give to somebody new to keep it interesting, and it's kept LeBron from winning a couple more that he could have possibly won.
I just think he's
poison, James
Harden, man.
James Harden's the MVP this year.
I mean, yes, of course, but I think Westbrook's poison, man. He is. He takes those stupid 15-foot jump shots. There was a game in the there was a moment in the last 10 games where, like, they were coming down the floor, and I think they were down by two. And he took this three-pointer with still like 8 seconds on the clock where it was like, dude, keep the...
I agree with all that, but at some point when you're so productive and you do so much and you play so hard, you give yourself the right in your teammates' eyes and your coach's eyes to do some of that. And, you know, I think everyone's like, oh, Durant left to get away from Westbrook and everything, and he's a cancer. Westbrook's a cancer. Well, what happens, as we've talked about, when Durant left? All of a sudden, Durant's causing some discontent in the Golden State locker room. I don't hear any Oklahoma City Thunder players complaining about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, you would love Russell Westbrook if he was on your team. There's nobody that takes more deep threes in the NBA than Damian Lillard, and it's not close.
Yeah, quick shots. So, you talk about teammates. I mean, you talked about Mo Harkless, or, you know, with his comments.
I will say that.
We love Dame because it's Portland, but he's taken more than double the next closest player on 28 foot and deeper 3-point.
And I will say that does piss me off pretty bad. Yeah. Like on those possessions where he comes up the court and just jacks the shot.
But again, he's earned some of that.
He has.
Because he's done so much and he's bought the goodwill of his teammates.
But there's just
much like Westbrook has.
There's sometimes where it happens where I'm just like, dude, there's 20 seconds on the shot clock. Like, come on, pass it around a little bit.
Speaking of 20 seconds left on the shot clock, we probably need to get out of here. It's been a great show. Big thanks to Jason Bro for joining us. We'll have a great time in Hawaii. Jason's back with me next week, 9 to 11, Sinner and Saint. Stay on 1080 The Fan, the Warriors-Spurs game at 11:30 right here on 1080 The Fan. Everybody have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot, and that's to laugh and smile and dance.
Why is my ball there?
How wide you are, how big your hands are.
Shut your f***ing face.
Okay, how about this? I'll get down on my knees. Is this any better?
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change. Get the f*** out! Get out!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.